Welcome back to the Player Spotlight on the Dan Quinn Coaches Show here on a Monday at Flowery Branch with Dave Archer, West Irwin, our SunTrust play of the game, the Big Kahuna, Vic Beasley.
We kind of threw one of our free, and you know Chuck Smith, one of the really good pass rushers that's ever played for the Falcons. He nicknamed the play where you get the sack, the strip, the score. We called it the Big Kahuna. We hadn't seen a Big Kahuna since 1984, so you brought – or 2004.
Right.
So, yeah, you took us back. Tell us about it, man. How about the play? I mean, think about it.
Well, you know, I was able to get around the edge and obviously see the ball right there still in the quarterback's hands. And coach always preaches about going for the ball, and I was able to get the strip sack and saw the ball on the ground. I picked it up, saw a lot of green, and, you know, I just took off.
And kept your feet, right?
No doubt.
Yeah.
Now, we got to get to the celebration. We're going to go there. You want to go? Let's go ahead. Ask you about the celebration.
All right. What was supposed to happen at the goalpost, and and ultimately what transpired?
Well, what was supposed to happen was to be a windmill type dunk where I switch it from my right hand to my left hand.
Really?
And I realized I wasn't high enough, so I just kind of took an L right there. So.
It's okay. You lost good, though, whenever you could fall in the end zone for a touchdown.
Yeah.
Because you were I thought you took off for a little further out, too. That was a pretty good effort. Now, what a great play. Vic Beasley, our guest here on the Player Spotlight here on the Dan Quinn Coaches Show. Vic, what's happened for you now, and really it takes time to play at a high level in this league, and really started to see you come on at the end of last year. I think you had two sacks in your last three games. And this year has just been a whirlwind for offensive tackles trying to get you blocked. What was the offseason like, and what did you work on to get yourself where you are?
Well, you know, just the coaches presenting the different schemes and different pass sets from different tackles that I could expect from for this year coming up. And, you know, we just worked on it, worked with Coach Smith, Coach Cox, and Coach Quinn, and they threw different things at me. And then with the addition of Dwight, he brings so much to the game of football, so much knowledge, and I think that's really been – the turning point for my game this year.
The other thing, too, Vic, is, and I think one thing that kind of gets lost in the shuffle, whether you're taking first round like you were or fifth round or wherever it is, everybody's kind of growth scale is a little different, right? I mean, exactly. Depending on where you're playing, who you're playing with, type of team you're on. I mean, you went through this in college. I mean, you had almost the exact same kind of maturation, if you will, in college, right?
Right.
What's that like? I mean, everybody has to kind of understand that, and you got to block all the outside stuff out, I'm guessing.
Yeah. I think different players flourish at different times, and, you know, certainly mine has came along this year. So last year I got a lot of experience underneath my belt, and I'm just taking in the strides this year. You know, I'm building a lot of confidence, and I'm actually seeing those stats come to fruition and all the hard work actually paying off.
It's one thing to be a highly recruited kid or a kid that they have expectations for at the college level, and certainly Vic realized that at Clemson. But it's another thing to be a number one draft pick in the league and the expectation level that comes with that. Mm-hmm. How were you able to block out the nose? You seem you're a man of faith. You're a guy that really is very soft-spoken, kind of lets things roll off his back. Did you hear any of the noise about, wow, I don't know if Vic's going to be that guy, all the people that want to talk outside the building? Does that bother you at all?
Yeah, I mean, I just try to tune those things out because I try to stay focused on the game, man. You know, I know my production wasn't coming along like I wanted it to, but I just kept working. You know, I kept trusting the process and the game plan and the schemes that coaches was constantly throwing at me, and I just kept working hard. And, you know, I credit that hard work this offseason. And then just guys coming in and Coach Quinn bought in, it helped me take my game to another level.
Vic, it was interesting because when Dwight Freeney came here, and you mentioned him a moment ago, he almost specifically said, hey, I'm not coming here as a mentor. I'm coming here to help this football team win, that type thing. And yet I envisioned Dwight Freeney coming here about along the lines of when Tony Gonzalez came here. Tony Gonzalez came here, and he really wasn't a mentor to anybody. He just goes about being Tony Gonzalez, and everybody says, hey, look at what Tony Gonzalez is doing over there, catching 100 balls before practice or meeting room or the way he takes care of his body. Am I to understand Dwight Freeney's kind of the same kind of guy? He goes about doing his stuff, and it just kind of, hey, look what Dwight Freeney does. Look at the way he watches tape, gets ready for games type thing.
Yeah, no doubt. Dwight, you know, he works extremely hard. You know, as an older guy, you know, it takes him a little time to actually get ready. But he puts a lot of time into what he needs to do to get ready. And I just take lessons from him. You know, watching him, he's been in the league for a long time, a guy with 100-plus career sacks. So if you see him doing something like that, you most certainly want to take advantage of that.
You're listening to the voice that leads the National Football League in sacks with 13.5. That's Vic Beasley. He also leads the league in forced fumbles. He had a return for a touchdown yesterday in the Falcons' win over the Rams in L.A. Vic, about this defense, and you guys are so young on the defensive side of the ball. It's incredible, really, when you think about it. I mean, if you take Freeney out, which you can, he's been a major part of it, and maybe Babineau, I mean, the mean age on this team might be like 24 years old defensively, really young. How is it – obviously, you got the two veterans there that I just mentioned that are really – Brooks Reed, another veteran player. But how has it been kind of to grow with one another, kind of go through some of the pitfalls, but then realize how you guys played yesterday? How's that been to kind of come together as a group, young guys like that?
Yeah, it's been awesome. You know, we have guys like myself and Deion Jones, Devondre Campbell, guys, Keanu Neal, guys playing – young guys playing at an exceptionally high level. And, you know, just working on it throughout the year, just continue to trust the process. And, you know, recently our defense was a defense that gave up touchdowns on first possession drives. And we know we had to bear down. And we went back to the drawing board, went to practice. And, you know, we had to correct a lot of things. And learning from guys like Freeney, Babineau, those guys just constantly building confidence and constantly telling us that we got to change some things. And we just kept working on those things in practice, and we've seen those things pay off now.
How much different is year two? And we know from a production standpoint, but just in terms of your experience, what's year two been like compared to year one?
The benefit for me is really just the experience. You know, seeing a lot of plays from year one, mm-hmm. Now I can jump a lot of plays in year two because I know what teams like to do. And now I'm experiencing – I've seen a couple chips last year, but now I'm experiencing more. And so just having a game plan, you know, working with Freeney, because I know a guy like him early in his career and now in his career, you know, he's experienced a lot of chips just because he got 100-plus sacks. So I take advantage of that and just learning from him in a lot of ways.
Monday at the Flowery Branch on the Dan Quinn Coaches Show. Before we're done today, we're going to get to basketball because as good as he is in football, the basketball scouting report was pretty serious now back in the day. But there's also you've gotten into a charity in Bartow County in Adairsville. You're doing a springtime basketball tournament. Is that right?
No doubt.
Yeah, and I know you did it last year. It was great success for you, right?
Yes. What I do is just team up with the FCA at Adairsville High School and, you know, get a lot of people to come out. And all the benefits go to the FCA Foundation, you know, at the high school, and then Adairsville Middle School. And it's been a great turnout the past 2 years, so I look to keep that going.
Why has that been important to you, Vic? Because you also have your Sacks with Beasley thing that you got going where money's being donated in that regard. Where does that come from, your affinity to want to be in the public or be in the community and help out in the community? Where does that come from for you?
Well, just the way I was brought up, you know, the way I was raised. My mom always told me to remain humble and kind. Be thankful for what you do have. Don't complain about what you don't have. And my dad was always a humble guy. And I think that just comes from the way I was raised and brought up.
Now, basketball was serious for you, wasn't it?
It was.
Yeah. Now, when did this whole football thing start to take the majority of your time?
Well, you know, I played basketball 3 years in high school, and I had to make a decision going into my senior year whether I wanted to play that last year of basketball or football. And I just chose football, and it was a tough decision for me because I really wanted to go to college and play both sports, but I think I made the right decision.
Yeah, I think so. I know there's a whole bunch of fans in this city that are excited that you made that decision. Vic Beasley, our guest on the Player Spotlight on the Dan Quinn Coaches Show. Vic, talk to me about Clemson. Obviously back in the playoffs again. But for you at Clemson, and I don't know if it was the beginning because we had some guys prior to you being there, but what is it about Clemson and defensive linemen? Because there's like four or five more guys that are getting ready to come out of there. What's going on there with that and the recruitment of guys that you want to play at Clemson and get after the passer and the guys carrying the ball?
Well, you know, Coach Hobby, I played a luxury playing for Coach Hobby, and he just loved tough guys. And actually, I went into Clemson as a tight end, and he won me over somehow. it's just I give the credit really to Coach Sweeney, the type of guys that he recruit, guys of high character, you know, and he just takes them there, whether you're two-star, three-star, and you know, encourage you while you're there and just takes the chance. I call it taking the chance on you because a lot of coaches look for more four-stars, five-stars guys, and I was a three-star guy coming out. And Coach Sweeney took a chance on me, and, you know, he done the scouting report very well, and I give the credit to him.
It's another indication of the whole two-star, three-star, four-star. There is no star on the ticker on the inside because, if I'm not mistaken, J.J. Watt was a two- or three-star player
at Western
as well.
Michigan.
And so,
or Central Michigan, I'm sorry.
Here's another guy that's playing, and Vic Beasley, that's playing at the highest level of the National Football League that didn't have that grade coming out of high school. So if you're a player out there and you're listening, don't get caught up in that. Just go do your thing.
Let me I want to revisit a little bit of the Clemson transformation that happened when you were there, because I think that's important to what you inherited here a year ago with Dan Quinn coming on and kind of the revitalization of this team too. Interesting in that, Vic, you saw it happen at Clemson. What kind of parallels are you seeing in the movement here? Because you were there right on the tail end of the Orange Bowl loss to West Virginia and kind of the revamping of Clemson as we know it today. What do you see in here that strikes you as being similar to what you saw in college?
Well, really, Coach Q, you know, he's a defensive-minded coach. And in my years at Clemson, my last year, we had one of the top-ranked defenses in the country. And Coach Quinn, I think he's similar-minded to Coach Winnie in some ways. And he just knows how to build a team, and Coach Winnie did also. And I see that coming around here also.
Vic, how much do you let your eyes look at the three games remaining? You guys have been pretty single-minded. I think it's really cool how you guys concentrate on the week that's at hand. 49er team coming in here. You haven't had a chance to watch tape on that yet, but you'll hear throughout the week how bad they are. And you know that the difference between good and bad is about an inch. I'm holding my fingers together in this league. So what does this team need to do to kind of stay single-minded like you've done all year long?
No, just take one game at a time. You know, not look ahead to the Saints or the Panthers who we have in the last two games, and take it one game at a time and just continue to finish like we did last game.
What will be some of the things that – give the fan an idea of – you talked about how maybe Dwight's helped you to maybe look at tape a little differently, or Brian Cox has helped you look at tape. What are some of the things you look at? Give the fan a kind of an inside look behind the curtain of what you're looking at in early week trying to get ready to play.
Well, first off, me as a pass rusher, you know, I often look at tackles, see if they're giving a pass stance or run stance. And normally if they have their hands in the ground, you often think it's a run, but you just have to watch the game film, and you can pick up on little different things. And I did some studies with Freeney and the defensive line as a whole, and we've been able to pick up a lot of things in these past couple games.
See, that's the really cool stuff, yeah. Because you get the tells, you get the veteran guy like Freeney that's helping the new fire breather coming off the edge in Vic Beasley. That'd be fun to sit there and listen to that conversation. That'd be fun.
I bet you can learn a lot in a short time, right?
Oh, it's no doubt.
All right. Thank goodness that basketball thing didn't work out.
Yeah, we're glad to have you. No question about it, dude.
All righty. Out of Adairsville, Vic Beasley with us on the Dan Quinn Coaches Show here on a Victory Monday at Flowery Branch. Thanks for the time. Good luck. Stay healthy the rest of the way.
Yes, sir. Thank y'all for having me.
All right. With Dave Archer, Wes Durham, our coverage starts from the floor of the Georgia Dome at 2 o'clock on Sunday. Falcons and 49ers. Mike Conte and V103's Ryan Cameron have countdown to kickoff. John Michaels will join us for the broadcast at 4:05. Stay tuned. More Dukes and Bell coming up next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.